Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today on Let's Face the Issues. The subject today, as we discuss it, is very, very simple and yet very, very profound. What if we didn't have a Bill of Rights? What if there were no Bill of Rights that gives us the liberties and the freedoms that we have today in relationship to the religious liberties in the First Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment, the right to have our doors closed and not allow law enforcement to come in unless they have a warrant. And then in the 14th Amendment, we also have further rights that we'll expand on during the course of this broadcast today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, if we had no Bill of Rights, we as Christians would be in grave jeopardy in America. We're talking about that fact because we have too many pastors that are afraid to talk about these issues and take a stand on them from the pulpit. I believe that every pastor ought to be well-versed in the Constitution and especially in our Bill of Rights and be able to stand without any apology and defend it, because it is a biblical concept precept that we as Christians have that religious liberty and the freedom to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understand in the New Testament era, I understand in the first century church that Christians were persecuted, prosecuted, and put to death. I realize that. And we're headed back to that state in America, I believe, just as on a global basis. And unless we speak up, stand up, and be seen and be heard as Christians, we're going to be relegated to that era, going back to the first century church where the Christians were thrown to the lions in the den of lions in the arenas, and people would applaud and watch as the Christians are being ravaged by the lions. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just been talking about the Fourth Amendment. It protects us from the invasion, the intrusion, the intervention in our homes without a warrant. Yet some cities and states are attempting to circumvent that. And we looked at what's happening in Washington State. We looked at what's happening in Zion, Illinois. But I asked the question, should Christians be concerned? I say yes, because all we need to do is look at North Korea, look at China, look at Cuba, and even, and we'll talk about it, look at Sweden. Today, ladies and gentlemen, listen, in the Swedish governance today, the Swedish people are in a position that they're forbidden to even speak, to say anything verbally or outwardly or in the open, even on what you'd call Twitter or Facebook or other social media. They're forbidden to say anything about the LGBTQ agenda. They're forbidden to say anything about the Islamic invasion. I watched a video recently where one man had something on his Twitter account about the dangers of the invasion of Sweden by the Islamics coming in and taking control. The next morning at daylight, the law enforcement were at his door threatening him that we've read your Twitter account. We know what you've said. If you say that again, we will arrest you. Now, you think that can't happen in America? You're sadly mistaken if you think that it can't. If you think that it can't, you're not watching what is taking place and understand what is happening today in relationship to the rules and the regulations on local and state ordinances and then with federal laws that's trying to be passed today. Ladies and gentlemen, we can understand that in these nations like North Korea and China and Cuba and others where government now will search or seize or arrest the individuals just because the individual may have said something, and may I remind us, or because they own a Bible, North Korea will come in and take your Bible. In fact, you'll be put to death in North Korea, put on in the gulag, as it's called, put on the slave labor force until you die, if you have anything to do with Christianity, the church, or the Bible. The very, very few in North Korea that have been able to sustain themselves and do anything about preaching and teaching the Word of God as a result of the harsh penalties for simply having a Bible or preaching or teaching anything about Jesus Christ. May I remind us, many individuals have taken the position that we ought to be silent, we ought not to say anything. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, many pastors and Christians that are silent need to understand the dangers that's before us. Should we worry about it? Should we be concerned about it? Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says actress fired for posting Bible verses, now suing. The blacklisting of a London actress for posting a Bible verse about homosexuality on Facebook several years ago reflect a chilling message society is conveying to Christians everywhere, says the head of Britain's Christian Legal Center. The message, said Andrea Williams, is that if you express and hold mainstream biblical views, you will be punished and you will lose your career if you do not immediately renounce your beliefs and stop having those beliefs. Williams was commenting on the case of a person that was dropped by the West End Theater when someone reported in 2014 Facebook post, which she said homosexual behavior is wrong. And ladies and gentlemen, that's happening today more than you'd ever realize it. This is the reason, ultimately, the case that is now before the U.S. Supreme Court about the LGBTQ, and the question being asked by the Supreme Court, do we have an LGBTQ transgender modified sexual orientation today? Or is sex male and female? We need to be in serious prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that the Supreme Court will rule that based on the scripture, based on the word of God, God created male and female, created he them. He created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. He created a woman and a man, and not any of the transgenders as they talk about. Perhaps you've heard on this broadcast as I've discussed it before. Scientists today have discovered that there is no such thing as a DNA or a gene, G-E-N-E, that is a homosexual gene. No such thing. So a person cannot legitimately say, I was born this way. God created me this way. God didn't create a freak. He didn't create a mistake. God created man and woman. And so the question that stands before the Supreme Court that every Christian, every child of God, every pastor, preacher, teacher needs to talk about and say that we need to pray for the Supreme Court to make the right decision. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if the Supreme Court rules that the LGBTQ sexual dysphoric group in America, which makes up less than 2%, if the Supreme Court rules that they have the authority to do what they're doing, it will destroy our churches. It will close churches, prosecute and persecute Christians as the world has never experienced in the history of America or the globe. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. We need to understand and recognize that there is a push today by many in authoritative positions to absolutely destroy religious freedom in America. And the LGBTQ acts and all of the legislation that's being passed, we have it today in the city of Jacksonville. We have it across the nation in HROs, human rights ordinances. I call them human reprobate ordinances because God calls them a reprobate mind in Romans chapter 1. He's turned them over to a reprobate mind, and he's talking about the Sodomites in the scripture in Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 through verse about 31, 32 in the text. Here's an article that says Minnesota's Ellison, talking about Keith Ellison, Ellison's relaunching his attack on religious freedom. Minnesota's Attorney General, the former Congressman Keith Ellison, is relaunching a case against the owners of a video company whose religious right to refuse to make a video for same-sex weddings already has been upheld by the Eighth Circuit Appeals Court. The Eighth Circuit Court said Carl and Angela Larson, which wish to make a wedding cake videos, can Minnesota require them to produce videos of the same-sex weddings, even if the message would conflict with their own personal beliefs? The district court concluded that it could, and dismissed the Larson's constitutional challenge to Minnesota's anti-discrimination laws because the First Amendment allows the Larsons to choose when to speak and what to say. We reverse the dismissal on two of their claims and remand the instructions to be considered whether they are entitled to a preliminary injunction. Ellison released a statement charging the Larsons want to discriminate against same-sex couples. He declared to keep honoring the First Amendment, which allows everyone to believe that they are what they want to, no matter how much they may disagree with them. That's antithetical, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to absolutely traverse the religious freedom and the freedom of speech in the First Amendment. But here's Keith Ellison as the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota that's now wanting to go back and overturn even what was done by the appeals court lower. He's now challenging it afresh and anew. Wanted to bring the case because he is demanding that the Sodomites have the preeminent rights in America and in his particular state. That simply means, ladies and gentlemen, that as a Christian, we would have to bow and bend, and not only bow and bend, but also we would have to approve, we would have to tolerate and embrace and celebrate the Sodomite homosexual movement in America today. And that's simply antithetical to anything that the Word of God says. We ought not to be put in the position of coercion and or being mandated by law, the laws of man, that's antithetical to and against the Word of God, that God's Word says that it's sin. It's an abomination. It's the only sin, ladies and gentlemen, in the Scripture where God destroyed two entire cities and the plains around them as a result of the Sodomites. Look at the Genesis text in Genesis chapter 19. If you want to just do a cursory reading, chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, chapter 19, verse 24 and 25. Go to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Go to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, and read those verses and see what God says about a Sodomite lifestyle. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, how can we remain silent as Christians when we're watching our Bill of Rights being trounced upon, trodden underfoot, and being in some way infringed upon and are totally thwarted and destroyed by the governmental agencies that are ruling today in America? Here's an article that says the Equality Act is the biggest threat to religious freedom in the United States history. The article says, remember, when activists on the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage and in essence the law of the land, Obama said, love wins. He celebrated the unconstitutional destruction of God-ordained sacred institution of marriage by ordering that the White House be lit in rainbow colors. Leftists decreed that the LGBTQ lifestyle is a beautiful thing, that Americans had better embrace it or suffer severe consequences and punishment in the future. Shockingly, Christian churches began embracing same-sex marriage, ignoring the Bible and what the Bible says in Leviticus 18:22 and further. Deceived and cowardly pastors said, love is love and it's a beautiful thing, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's cowering to, that is bowing and bending to what man is saying in the immoral, ungodly, unholy mindset of what they're wanting to force Christians and churches to succumb to and to accept. And that is simply unreasonable as well as unconstitutional. Ladies and gentlemen, what about our First Amendment? What about the dangers that we face today if we have no First Amendment? What about the dangers if we have no Bill of Rights, including the First Amendment? The right of our people to have religious free speech. Today across America, we're seeing the religious liberties and the freedom of speech being attacked or diminished by government. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest danger we face today would be the Socialist Democrats led by AOC and the squad, AOC and her squad of four. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're living in dangerous days, and yet I see here very few pastors preaching and teaching about it. I see very little from the Christian community confronting the evils and the wickedness of society, and especially found in the wretched, rotten root called government, and those that think that somehow, some way, they have an authority to roughshod over the Bill of Rights and destroy Christians and ethics and values in America today. Yes, I realize it's a pretty lengthy statement in saying that, but I realize too that when somebody needs to speak up, I realize that we're on the very precipice, we're on the very edge of everything that we hold so dear as Christians being destroyed. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. You take away the Bill of Rights, you thwart the First Amendment, you infringe upon the Second Amendment, you ignore the Fourth and the 14th Amendment, and Christianity is gone in America today. We lose every vestige, every vintage, every portion, every little parcel of what we could hold on to and have defense for what we're doing as Christians in America today. Yes, House Bill 5, which was passed by Nancy Pelosi and her socialist, Marxist Democrats by 240 votes, it's now in the U.S. Senate. Thankfully, it's being held there by Mitch McConnell and not being brought to the floor. It's Senate Bill 788. You've heard me talk about it before, and at the sound perhaps of a broken record, let me reiterate some of the things that it does, because it falls into the category of destroying and absolutely circumventing our Bill of Rights. It is House Bill 5 and Senate Bill 788. Senate Bill 788 already has 46 senators that's on board. If it becomes law, if it ever sees the light of day from the standpoint of becoming law in our land today, it will prohibit any Christian church, Christian organization, or religious organization from printing or publishing or promoting anything that's against the LGBTQ. As one of the LGBTQ advocates says, that the LGBTQ will trump Christianity. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the international head of the Sodomite movement, which is a female, the international head of the LGBTQ movement, said the goal is ultimately to crush, to destroy, to demolish, was her words, heterosexuality in the world. Let that sink in for a moment and understand the dangerous road that we're treading. The second thing the House Bill 5 will do, it will force Christians to abandon their biblical views or be prosecuted. You will have to bow and bend and surrender your biblical views, your conscience based on the Word of God. You'll have to surrender that and be persecuted and prosecuted. Nancy Pelosi glees over the fact that it passed. In fact, they're chafing at the bits, wanting it to be passed in the Senate, because it will make the LGBTQ, which, let me go back to it again, ladies and gentlemen, that group of sexually perverted pedophiles and those that have sexual dysphoria, it will allow that group of less than 2% of Americans to rule and destroy and force the churches to close the doors or comply. Third thing it will do, churches will be forced to allow the LGBTQ to be accepted in the religious organization or be punished. And that is a very dangerous thing, whether you recognize it or not. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917. 831-0917. We're talking about the question, what if we had no Bill of Rights? What if we had no Bill of Rights? Where would we stand as Christians? Where would we stand as a church? What would our liberties be based upon? How would we defend our constitutional liberties that we claim so dearly and so much today? What would we do? If House Bill 5, the Equality Act, as it is called, everything but equality, ladies and gentlemen, churches would be forced to allow the LGBTQ to be accepted in the religious organization to be prosecuted. Number four, the churches could not preach or teach or advocate anything publicly against the Sodomite agenda. You're talking about wreaking havoc on the church. Right now we have pastors that are tiptoeing around the tulips today. We have pastors in the pulpits today that are walking on eggshells because they're afraid they might have a Sodomite member, and as a result of that, might hurt somebody's feelings. In fact, there's a major push today by some, even within the Southern Baptist Convention, that's saying that we need to reach out and to recognize the LGBTQ community and to allow them in the church. We have today a major element of Christianity right here in the state of Florida that is pushing seminars that will teach pastors how to deal with and how to counsel with and how to allow the Sodomite members in their churches and to minister to them. Ladies and gentlemen, I know how to minister to them. Tell them the Word of God says if you don't convert, if you don't say yes to Jesus Christ and put away your old life, you're going to die and go to devil's hell. It's as simple as that. Now, I say that with love. We're to preach the truth in love, and the truth of the Word of God is either you, as the old cliche goes of years gone by, either turn or burn. Turn from your sin or you're going to burn in hell. It's as simple as that. And I don't know of any other way to say it, ladies and gentlemen. There may be some way that somebody can tiptoe around the edge of it and embrace it. I don't know how. And I don't think the Bible teaches us how. I don't think the Word of God takes it. The Apostle Paul knew nothing about the compromise as we find in pastors today. I don't believe Peter knew anything about the compromise after Paul had confronted him at the Jerusalem conference in Acts chapter 15. I don't understand it because Daniel didn't know anything about compromise. He was willing to be thrown into the den of lions. He was willing to be martyred for the faith, if you please. He didn't know how to compromise. And yet compromise is the main, if you please, the element that we find in society today among Christians, and I find it antithetical to the Word of God. The fifth thing is Christians and counselors, Christian counselors in particular, would not be free to counsel against the LGBTQ lifestyle. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, gay counseling ban decision by judges are being appealed. This is, of course, of the land of fruits and nuts out in California. The decision by a judge who defied the Supreme Court and let stand a state speech censoring program now is being appealed by the Fourth U.S. Court of Appeals. The judge, Deborah Crenshaw, dismissed a lawsuit against Maryland's law prohibiting minors from receiving voluntary counseling from licensed professionals to reduce or eliminate unwanted sexual attractions or gender confusion. Liberty Counsel, representing Christopher Doyle, a counselor licensed in Virginia and Maryland, a challenge to the law signed by Maryland Governor Larry Hogan that took effect last year. Doyle counsels minors who voluntarily seek his help and are struggling with the unwanted sexual attractions and behaviors and identity. Doyle's counseling is provided solely through speech, but it is prohibited in Maryland's counseling law, and it's banned on that by the state, and the state has disapproved Doyle's position on that. Liberty Counsel is taking the position, ladies and gentlemen, that's thwarting the First Amendment right of freedom of speech. And ladies and gentlemen, that's in California, that's in Maryland, that's in Virginia, that is rampantly running across America, where they are banning Christians and Christian counselors and pastors from being able to say anything against the LGBTQ. That is an intrusion upon our Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen. Keep in mind, the Bill of Rights and the Amendment, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or press, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, that simply means that the government cannot come in and tell Christians what we can say, what we can preach, what we can teach, or what we can counsel. Now, the government contends there's a wall of separation of church and state. The Danbury Baptist Convention had written a letter asking, wanted to make sure that in the Constitution there would be protection so that there would not be a state-imposed denomination or a state-imposed church. And that is the result of it. The Danbury Baptist Convention received the letter back, and it made that statement about there would be the wall of separation of church and state. And ladies and gentlemen, that's simply talking about that the state cannot intervene and enter into the church's business. And the Bible does contain a wall of separation of church and state. If you don't believe it, go to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, and you see King Uzziah decided he wanted to go in and make burn incense. 81 priests, the chief priest and 80 priests, 81 priests said, King, you can't do that. That's left up to the preachers. That's left up to the priest, and you're not a priest, and so you can't do it. Study the scripture in 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and you find that King Uzziah defied the 81 priests, went in and did so anyway, and God killed him. So what's the end result of what I'm saying? I'm saying that God says, yes, the government cannot intervene in the life and the liberties and the freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion in a Christian church. God's going to do something if that takes place. Now, I'm saying to you that are listening today, we need to be very aware of what's taking place in relationship to the continuing watering down and or the infringement upon or the diminishing of our liberties that's found in the Bill of Rights. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad situation that we find ourselves in where Christians are being silent. Ladies and gentlemen, if that House Bill 5, Senate Bill 788 passes, Christian counselors will not be able to free to counsel. Six, the Christian bakers and florists and wedding planners and videographers would be forced to violate their conscience and provide services for the sodomite community, even though they feel that it is against the Word of God, they would be forced to do so. All locker rooms, shower rooms, business bathrooms, and religious organizations, including churches. Listen, if a church opens its door to any event for the community to be invited, hear me, if a church opens its doors and invites the public to come in for an event, they would fall under the House Bill 5, Senate Bill 788, and would be forced to allow the sodomites to enter and to go into any bathroom, any shower room, any locker room that they desired to go into. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason we need to be very, very careful with the laws that are being passed and intended to be passed by our so-called leaders in Washington and the state houses across America. Well, what about the Second Amendment? What about the right to keep and bear arms? The right of self-defense. This right was given by God, codified by the Bill of Rights, and confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court, and yet today the socialist Marxist Democrats want to ignore that right. At your leisure, I encourage you, study the little book of Esther. And by the way, God has codified and given us the doctrine of self-defense, the castle doctrine that it's called. It started out in several places, and it's found throughout the Scripture, and I've written a book on that subject, and be delighted to send you that book. It's called The Doctrine of Self-Defense. It is an in-depth look at the Second Amendment of the Constitution and the right to keep and bear arms as found in the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, in the little book of Esther, where the king had been deceived into passing a law that would allow the Jews to be put to death, 2 months later, when it was discovered, he passed a new law, signed a new law, sealed the new law, giving them the authority. And he says in the 8th chapter of the book of Esther, the verse 11, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their lives, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to be perish all the power of the people and the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And then he goes on to talk about in the 9th chapter how he says that the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces, and the king Ahasuerus, to lay hand on such as sought to hurt them, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon the all of them. He gave them the authority, ladies and gentlemen, of the law: when they come to slay you, stand up and kill them first. That's the castle doctrine: to defend your home, to defend your family, defend your life and your liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, we have those today that are wanting to take that away. In fact, all of our socialist, Marxist presidential candidates today running want to confiscate guns, want to have some gun buyback, and the red flag laws, expanded background checks. Ladies and gentlemen, that expanded background check, it sounds good on the surface, but an expanded background check simply does this. If you have the right to keep and bear arms, which the Second Amendment gives you, and you have a license, which I believe never should have been authoritative in America, but it is, and it's been accepted, and therefore it's a settled law. But if you have a license to keep and bear arms, and you have the license, and you put that pistol in your wife's handbag so that she can go down the street and be protected, or you lend it to your brother or your son or daughter, and something happens, ladies and gentlemen, they can come back and prosecute you and put you in jail, because the extended background check says before you do that, they've got to have a background check and have the authority to put that in their purse or their pocket or their person and take it down the street. Some candidates are literally saying today they're advocating the cancellation of the Second Amendment right. I am saddened to see that. In fact, the Florida's red flag law, Florida and 16 other states has red flag law. And the listen, ladies and gentlemen, carefully, the red flag law is unconstitutional. It violates the First Amendment. It violates the Second Amendment. It violates the Fourth and the 14th Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, and it ought never to have been put in place. I'm thankful to announce to you today that coming the legislative session in January, House Bill 6003 has been introduced by Mike Hill, House Representative of District 1, and the House Bill, the House Bill 6003 will absolutely gut the red flag law in the state of Florida and once again restore to the citizens the right to keep and bear arms. So be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, they talk about anything that will take away our Bill of Rights. It is constitutional, it's biblical, and we need to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.